Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me in another episode of the Cashflow Ninja podcast and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Please check out all of our past episodes. Between the two shows, Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Investing Secrets, we now have over 700 podcasts. You can check out all of the previous podcasts along with community resources and tools at cashflowninja.com. I also want to invite everyone to a webinar. I did a webinar with my friend Dave Steck. We did a webinar about the state of the union for real estate and private lending, which listeners and viewers loved. They were raving about it. Dave Steck is a multimillionaire, lives in Puerto Rico, has a great life. And we had a little bit of a, we had a discussion and he said, hey, I'll come on and jump and do a webinar about the things I'm doing to plan for 2021. I always like to learn. So Dave is making this available. It's called the Top 10 Things You Need to Do Today to Crush 2021. You could go to cashflowninja.com/crush2021 and register for that webinar. It will be live on November 11th at 8 p.m. So please check it out and join us live. We're doing another one live. cashflowninja.com/crush2021. I'm super excited to have a returning guest on the show, Kevin Nichols with Penumbra Solutions. Kevin, great to see you.
Great to see you as well. How are you?
Doing fantastic, and always great to have a conversation with you. And we're looking forward to this. By the way, for new listeners and viewers out there, Kevin's been on the show before. I would highly recommend you check out all of his previous episodes that he's done with us. Just go to cashflowninja.com, type in Kevin Nichols or Penumbra Solutions, and you'll find all of those shows. There's been a ton of them that we've done because he just provides so much value in every episode that he does with us. So I'm looking forward to this. Kevin, your niche that you're operating in is life settlements and the asset class of life settlements. Now, for new listeners and viewers out there that are not familiar with the asset class, can you share a little bit more about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the life settlement asset class is essentially a class in which somebody who has a life insurance policy, who no longer wants it or needs it or can afford it, they desire to sell it or just get rid of it. And so we would buy that policy from them at a discount, and then we make the premium payments on it until the people pass. And then when they pass, we collect the death benefit. Now, the key is finding out or trying to determine when they're going to pass. In our particular case, we specialize in buying policies from insureds who are over 90 years old. So in fact, the average age of the insureds in most of our funds is about 93. So if you ask yourself, how long will a healthy 93-year-old live? That's typically about the length that the fund will run. And the answer to that is 5 to 6, 7 years. I don't know too many people who are over 100, although it does happen. That's the length of time that our funds will generally run. Because we focus on this age group, we are able to, it's a niche because a lot of companies can't buy these types of policies, and there's a specific reason for that. And I can get into that later if you'd like. But we really, when we find policies like this, we don't have a lot of competition. So we're able to purchase them at an advantageous price. And essentially what we're doing is we're buying our growth at a discount today. We may pay $300,000 for a policy that's going to mature and pay $1 million at point uncertain in the future, but generally within the next few years. And depending on the premium payments, it can be a situation where it's almost impossible for us to lose money. And so we'll buy the policy, and when the insured passes, we collect the death benefit, and it works out very nicely. This asset class has actually been around since 1911. Most people don't realize that. And it's been gone through the courts. It's been adjudicated at the highest level, Supreme Court. In fact, Chief Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes actually wrote the opinion for the Supreme Court when they adjudicated it in 1911. So, and that stands today. So we like the class. We like the fact that it's got 100% guarantees by American A or better rated life insurance companies, which, by the way, since 1845, no B plus or better rated company has ever failed to pay on a death benefit in the United States. So we are very confident that, our money's going to be there. So it works out very nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, some of the let's talk about some of the obviously advantages. You've mentioned a couple there, but the reason why I want to touch on that is it's obviously been an interesting year. And I always say that there's a couple of things as part of an overall strategy, which we'll also get to in a second, that where this fits in really nicely. And there's only one or two asset classes that's done really well in 2020, this being obviously being one of them. Maybe you can speak to that to get the some of the positives, and then also just touch on what you know, who this is not for, what are some of the negatives.
Well, the benefit of course is the fact that every dollar that we invest is guaranteed by an American A or better rated life insurance company. And I don't mean your principal's guaranteed, your growth is actually guaranteed. Money that we hold in reserve to make premium payments is held in an FDIC insured institution. We can't touch it. We don't even have access to the account. We can't write checks against it. We can't touch it. We don't ever touch the money. And so the absolute guarantees are, I don't know of anything that has stronger guarantees. You're not reliant on us to pay you. Once we buy the policies, the money flows through the custodian, which is, again, an FDIC-insured financial institution. It's a bank. And they distribute the money. So we've never had a policy not pay. We've never had a policy pay less than we thought it would pay. We've never had an investor in 11 years of doing this lose a single dime. Who is it not for? It's not for somebody who knows that they're going to need the money inside the next 8 years, for the simple reason that we can't predict when people are going to pass. And so we can't predict the cash flow. You're the cash flow specialist. And this is not really a cash flow investment or a cash flow play. This is a growth play. What I typically tell people is this: look, if you're going to say you invest $100,000, if I were to tell you, you're going to invest $100,000 with me and it's not going to be exposed to the market, it doesn't matter if the market goes up, down, sideways, whatever, none of that will affect your investment. And at the end, in 8 years, I'm going to return to you $350,000. Are you happy? And the answer is, yeah, I'm very happy with that. Okay. Then what if I told you that you're going to start getting your money back probably in 4 years or so, and it's going to come in principal and growth. And so it will actually enhance your internal rate of return. Is that even better? And the answer generally is yes, of course. So that's what we do. It's not a cash flow play. And so if you know you're going to need the money inside of the next 8 years, I ask, don't invest it. You have other things that you can recommend for people to invest in, but this is purely a growth play. And it's, what I like to say is it's not for all your money, it's for the money you can't afford to lose.
MC Lobsterier, the creator of the Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Coach at Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate infinite banking with their business and investments. To learn how you can create your own banking system to turbocharge your investments and business in 30 days or less, go to yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com.
Essentially a non-correlated asset class. The only thing it's correlated to Forex because it's denominated in US dollars, but everything else, not to the economy, not to the markets and so forth. So, and it's literally one of those asset classes where you can buy your equity like the Buffetts and the Gateses and the financial institutions and how big banks do it. So there's, you know, you make your money when you buy. We've all heard that. What does it mean? This is one of the things that you can do it. But on the other side is this is not a liquid investment at all. This is something that's in the fund. You cannot access it. This is on the negative side. And then also you have to be very, very careful who's managing the fund, because there are, again, A players, you know, B players and undesirable characters. So that's one of the big risks too, is you got to do it with the right company.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, it's interesting. I had an advisor who does a lot of podcasts as well. He sent me some information on a competing fund, and he said, "Look, tell me what I'm looking at here." evaluate it for me. He said, it looks to be similar to you guys. And I said, no problem. So I said, if you don't mind, if I'm going to evaluate it for you, I'm going to really evaluate it. So I literally read their private placement document, which was 163 pages, another 30 pages for an operating agreement. I looked up their filing with the SEC. And I told them, I said, look, first of all, this is nothing like what we do. It's the same asset class per se, but your money's not all guaranteed because they already own the policies. Okay. You're asking your investors to invest in their company, and their company will issue dividends to you. The fee structure on this thing is ridiculous. They're taking 23% of what you invest, what your investors invest. I said, you know, there's an old saying, pigs get fed, but hogs get slaughtered. I said, these guys are being egregious, really. Our fee structure is incredibly low. We charge 1.5% going in. So when an investor invests $100,000, we charge $1,500, and that's called an organizational and offering fee. And that is to reimburse us for setting up the fund, paying for the escrow. We have to pay for in cash in advance, the escrow, the accounting, the printing, the legal, what have you. That reimburses us for setting the fund up. Then at the end, we get what's known as a management fee of 2.5%. So 1.5 up front, 2.5 on the back end, a total of 4 points. If the fund lasts 8 years, that's 0.5 a point a year. I think that's pretty reasonable. In fact, I don't think you'll find anything cheaper than that. In fact, we've actually been criticized by a couple of other fund managers that we've met at conferences, et cetera, who've said you're leaving too much on the table. But you have to bear in mind that, remember, our first investor was my dad, my business partner, myself. We didn't want to create something that was so heavy in fees that it detracted from yield. I do not want to ever have that conversation with my dad about, you know, hey, how come I'm paying you guys 1.5 every single year? You're not doing anything except waiting for people to die. Because it's true. There's really nothing to do. We use a third-party custodian so that people who don't know us, and that's virtually everybody now at this point, you don't ever have to worry about us touching your money. Ever. It doesn't come to us. You can't send, if you send us a check along with your documents, we send you essentially a subscription agreement. You send it back with a check. I return the check. I can't take it. It has to go directly to the fund custodian, which is Bank of Utah. They manage the money. I don't have access to the money, and I can't even touch the money, and they won't take it if it comes to me first. So it's hard to get in trouble if you don't ever touch the money. Other funds that are out there, if you look at the fee structures, you're going to find that they are very top heavy. And there's a reason for that. Look, we are a boutique company. We are a small company. There are two of us, two partners. We don't have a lot of overhead. We don't have a lot of staff. We subcontract out critical needs that we have. If something were to happen to us, we have everything in place. So the custodian will finish the fund up along with our accounting firm. So there, it will be seamless. But in terms of expense and overhead, we simply don't have very much at all. Conversely, if you take a company, say there's four or five partners in the company and they're all making mid six figures, and on top of that, you've got two or three office staff that are making anywhere from $50,000 to $90,000 a year. Those guys have got a weekly or every 2 week payroll that they've got to make, which means that they have to deploy their capital quickly in order to create cash flow. We don't have that problem. We can sit and wait for months at a time if we want to. If there's nothing advantageous to buy, then we buy nothing. We remain in cash, just like a prudent investor would do in the stock market. So if there's nothing that is in our price range that we want to purchase that makes sense, we will remain on the sidelines, simply because we don't have to deploy cash to create income to pay our people. We are the only company that is like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about where this fits in big picture too, because I get a lot of folks that reach out to me and said, well, you know, cash flow, it's not really a cash flow play. So full disclosure, I'm an investor in this. I love this asset class, and that's why we're talking about it and sharing this. So just wanted to share that with folks before I share how I kind of see where it fits in. You know, when you have an overall strategy, you know, there you need to position liquidity somewhere, right? Your savings. So there's a bucket for your savings. And this is money that's liquid. And listeners and viewers of the show know, I love the high cash value life insurance as a savings bucket because I can access the money to deploy back into the business or grow an investment portfolio. Then the second bucket is the investment bucket. It's And this is more of a cash flow investment bucket for me, completely different than savings. Don't listen to what, you know, the marketers in Wall Street tell you. There's a massive difference between savings and investing. And obviously, this is the cash flow bucket, investing into things that produces income and pays me monthly. But then, as part from an overall approach to it, you have to have something that's, again, non-correlated with a lot of growth potential from an overall strategy. So it's not like, hey, MC, what's the best if it's X or Y or Z? It's like, no. They, again, we're being marketed to very product specific. As part of an overall strategy, you're going to have to put something that's liquid, easy, accessible, something that pays you monthly, and something that has high growth potential over the course of time. That's kind of how I see it personally for myself, being in this asset class as well. If you want to add something to that and also share something with folks.
Here in Texas, we have a saying, it's good to know that you eat your own chili. My partner and I invest in this. If you were to go in cumulative across all 10 funds, we are the largest investors in the funds. We are not the largest investor in any single fund. You invest your money, your hard-earned money, in our funds, which we appreciate. And we value that greatly because you've done the vetting and you've done the research and you can invest anywhere. And I appreciate you sharing that. You certainly didn't have to do that. You know, this is, like I said before, this is not a cash flow play. If you're looking for income, this isn't really what you want to invest in. When we used to do financial planning, and we're both financial planners, my partner and I, although we don't do that anymore because we simply don't have time. We haven't, it's after we did the first fund, in the second fund, it became very clear that we simply were not going to have time to work specifically one-on-one with customers anymore because all of our time was spent working with advisors and their customers. But what we used to tell people is this: if you know you're going to need this money to live on inside of 8 years, inside the next 8 years, don't invest it here. There are other, you know, there are things that you, MC, have that you can offer that would be more appropriate. Maybe they don't have the same growth rate that we do, but they've got liquidity, which we do not have. Now, that's not to say that if we have an investor who says, hey, you know, I've got $100,000 in there and I've got an emergency and it's 3 years in and I need to get access to that $100,000, it's probably happened a handful of times in the last 11 years, we've always been able to get them out. In other words, we've had to find another investor to buy their position out, which we've been able to do to accommodate them. But we don't want to go into the fund knowing that we're going to have to be getting people out. That doesn't make any sense. And that's not the point of the fund. You know, if you look at the processes that go into creating a fund, you asked, you know, how do investors know, you know, what a good fund is or how to vet a fund. First of all, the process of purchasing these policies is very intensive. We're very specific on what we're looking for in terms of age, in terms of health, in terms of the strength of the company that we're buying. We don't want any, we really don't like to buy any B plus companies. We don't like to go below A minus or even A. Most of the companies are A rated or better. Policies have to be at least 3 years old. In other words, we want to be past the contestability period. We don't want ever want that coming back. Someone saying, this was a stranger originated life insurance policy or any contestability issues like that. So once we get past the contestability period, which is 2 to 3 years, the Supreme Court has adjudicated that the company owns the policy. I mean, it's done. You've got 2 years or 3 years to prove that it was something done improper. Beyond that, you own it. Thankfully, we've never had to adjudicate anything like that. But that's important. Main thing is that we want to know, you know, what's the cost of this policy going forward? At which point does it go sideways? People ask us frequently, what kind of policies are these that we buy? Are they term policies? No, they're not term policies. Why? Because, like the name implies, a term policy will term out at some point in time. Are they whole life policies? No. While I am a firm believer in whole life insurance and am an owner of several policies, that's not the kind of policy that we're looking for. Why not? Because those policies are designed to build cash value. We don't want to build cash value in our policies. In fact, if we purchase a policy and it's got cash value, the first thing we will do is use that cash to make the premium payments because it reduces the premium load on the fund. So we don't look for whole life policies. That being said, we've probably got three across 1,800 policies that we own. There are probably three that are whole life. What we typically buy are universal life policies. Now, they can have started as a term life policy. Most term life policies today have what is known as a convertibility feature, which says if in this term, 10 years, say, for example, you want to convert this from a term policy to a universal life policy, you can do that without having to prove insurability. The premiums will, of course, go up, but you don't have to be re-underwritten now. In other words, we can't just cancel it because you want to do that. So what we do is we have a lot of people who come to us with term policies that have a convertibility feature. We will have them convert it because that gives us, a universal life policy gives us a couple things. One, it gives us the ability, the insurance company can't cancel that policy until the end of it. You know, and it doesn't have to be renewed every 5 years, every 10 years. Now, it is going to be a more expensive policy because you've got that guaranteed renewability. It can create cash value if you overpay, but we don't. We actually hire a company to optimize the premiums to make sure that we pay as little as possible. We want to keep the policy in force. Of course, we don't ever want to lose a policy. We've never had one that we've lost, but we want to make the minimum premium payments for each policy as we can. Furthermore, once that premium payment has been made, we want somebody to follow up with the insurance company to make sure that premium that we paid was applied to the correct policy. Believe it or not, that's a mistake that happens from time to time. And we've got a company that we use that follows up to verify that the premiums were made, the minimum premium was made at the right time to the right policy and the right company. Those are some things that we do. I'm sure other companies do it similarly, but those are some steps that we need to take to protect the fund.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the $1 billion blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
So some of the big management, and this is what you're very skilled at, is to be able, because you're buying now a fund of policies, so many different policies, so you're going to have to make all of the premium payments for these policies until basically they pay out, right? So good and skilled managers of life settlement funds will be able to manage all the premiums properly, because one of the risks, of course, if you're working with someone that doesn't really know what they're doing, you know, or undesirable characters, as I call them, then there might be premium calls. That's another additional risk to an investor in this asset class, right?
Glad you mentioned that. Yeah. The premium call is where the fund managers don't have enough money in the premium reserve account to make the premium payments on all the policies. What that generally means is that they spent too much money buying policies. Let me back up and I'll tell you why. This, I'm going to peek behind the curtain here a little bit. Say, for example, we have a $10 million raise. We raised $10 million from investors, and we would typically go to market to deploy that capital, and we'd be looking for anywhere from, say, $35 million in death benefit. Okay, so about 3.5 times our raise. In other words, investor is going to get roughly 3.5 times their investment. That's about average. Now, the last few funds have been 4, 4.5, even 5 times, but generally, we're looking for 3 to 3.5 times our investment. Now, with that $10 million, we're not actually going to spend $10 million. We're only going to spend about 6, because right up front, we're going to hold back anywhere from 35 to 40% as a premium reserve to get us through the first 2 to 2.5 years of the life of the fund. And that money is held by the Bank of Utah. They hold all the money. And then out of that 40%, we make the premium payments on the policy. Now, here's the important thing to realize. Remember when I said that we are a small company, we have low overhead. The only time we really get paid, we do have a 1.5% organizational and offering fee, but that goes to reimburse us. We get paid, when we buy a policy, the seller of that policy, it's like a real estate transaction. If you buy a house, the seller pays all the fees. If you're selling a life insurance policy, there are going to be certain fees that you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay brokers. You're going to have to pay life and settlement providers. You're going to have to pay escrow, what have you. Now, we have a broker, and where we get paid, I'll just tell you right up front, where we get paid is the broker gives us a percentage of their commission. That's how we get paid, okay? That's how everybody gets paid in this industry. So the more money that we can deploy, the more money that we can make. It's logical if you think about it. But here's the difference. If we have to hold back 40%, then that means that that's money we can't get paid on. Because we can only get paid on 60% of whatever we raise on the $6 million, okay? Now, furthermore, if we can't deploy that capital in a timely fashion, we don't get income. And I told you that we don't have that problem because we're very low overhead. But if we had high overhead and we had a lot of expenses, including staff and clerical help, where we had to meet a weekly or biweekly payroll, that means we have to deploy the capital. It also means that we can't afford to sit on 40% of the money we raise, okay? Most companies out there are only saving anywhere from 12 to 15% of the raise for premiums, okay? Now, how can they do that? Well, what they will do then is say, okay, I've gone through my 12 to 15%. Now I'm going to go back to my investors and I'm going to issue a premium call. In the documents, in the plan documents, it states they can do that, all right? When they do that, what they're basically admitting is we bought too much. Why did we buy too much? Because we needed to make the money. So they overspent to make the money and now you're having to pony up more money as an investor. Now, maybe you're thinking to yourself, okay, I can handle that. I can do it. But bear in mind, probably 80% of the money that is invested in our fund is qualified money, which means it's either a self-directed 401k, an IRA, a Roth IRA, what have you. Furthermore, a lot of our investors don't have traditional ordinary income. They're wealthy. Their income comes from dividends. It comes from capital gains, etc. They don't have the ability to contribute more money into a qualified plan because they don't have income, right? If I come to you and say, MC, you're an investor and I need you to contribute $2,000 this year for capital, for premium calls or capital calls. And you've already, A, maybe you don't have earned income like that and you're not able to contribute to a qualified plan. You've got a problem. Now we have to set up a separate account for you. It's all because of greed. Right? What is it they say? The three things that motivate people: hope of gain, fear of loss, and greed. Greed is the most powerful. So if we can keep you from having to fulfill a premium call, it makes your life easier. It makes our life easier. It limits the amount of money that we can make because we don't deploy every dollar, but we also don't ever have to take on any debt. If you are investing through an IRA, you're forbidden from taking on debt. The way we do it is pure. It's not leveraged by any stretch. We manage over 1,800 policies. We've never lost a policy. We've never even had one go into grace period. We've never had to make a premium call on any investor at any point in time. We do that by being conservative with the money that we are entrusted with and by not overspending. And yet we're still able to deliver. The prospectus states the target yield is 10 to 12% annualized net of all fees. Quite frankly, I'd be pretty disappointed if we didn't far surpass that.
My friend Brian Page has created a cash flow machine generating over $100,000 in 6 months without owning any real estate. His system consists out of renting properties from property owners and renting them out on Airbnb. His system is so simplistic, it can be managed by virtual assistants and yet so effective and powerful that it predictably generates cash flow every month. Brian and I are hosting a webinar where he shares his system and how it generated over $100,000 in 6 months for him personally. You can access this life-changing webinar at cashflowninja.com/BNB. This is one of the greatest cash flow opportunities I've seen since I've started my podcast. Again, the URL is cashflowninja.com/BNB.
Thank you for sharing that, because for listeners and viewers, this is great questions to ask operators and managers of funds. You know, one of the things that I wrote down here is I love how you said, you know, in Texas, we have a saying, we eat our own chili. And I always talk about eating your own cooking. So do they invest in their own funds alongside you? Obviously, you have to talk about the fees, which go hand in hand with that. And then having this conversation, have they ever done a premium call? How do they manage their fund? Because this is actually where the value creation lies for fund managers, and where you can basically divide the wheat from the chaff, or and so forth. What other questions would you say is crucial to ask operators when you vet managers of funds if they are they're a proper fit.
You know, it's funny. The single most asked question is, what have I not asked you? What question have I forgotten? I had one of your investors, I spent about an hour and a half with him on the phone, and he was very knowledgeable. He had been looking into this asset class for quite some time, very much an accredited investor. And he said, what have I not asked? And I thought, you know, that's funny, because he really had hit everything. He touched on everything. And I love it when people do that, when they come educated, because not only does it make my life easier, but the more you know, the better we look, honestly. And so I appreciate when an investor does his homework. And so we had a great conversation about that. And I laughed because I said, you know, you just asked the most common question. What have I not asked? You don't know what you don't know. You know, the main thing is, I have heard other investment fund managers say, we never touch your money. And yet, right in the in their plan document, it says that they can borrow your money to pay for overhead. Remember when I said that we don't make any money until we deploy capital, okay? Well, what if we can't deploy capital? We still have to make payroll, and then we can borrow that money. We don't do that, but other companies do. And furthermore, when that money is borrowed, it's not guaranteed. You don't have the guarantee of the insurance company. To me, that is highly misleading. And find out, do you ever have access to the cash? At any point in time, do you have access to the cash? And there are other things that can be asked that I would probably prefer not to state publicly, but I would state privately to an investor who was truly interested. You know, find out who you're doing business with. That's the bottom line. When I tell people, look, if you're serious about investing and you really want to know about us and who we are, fly in. Come to Dallas. I'll pick you up. We'll spend the day together. You can ask any question. You can look behind the curtain. You can see everything we do. We've got a copy of every single policy we've ever purchased. Every single piece of paper is here, not only electronically, but physically. We have two safes that we keep things in. If at the end of that time, you are not convinced that we're the company you want to invest with, I'll reimburse you for your flight. We'll shake hands, be friends, and you're on your way. I've had people take me up on that about 8 times, and I have not bought one flight yet. So come see us. We're happy to spend time with you at any point in time. And if you play ping pong, so much the better.
Absolutely. And you do play a mean game of ping pong. I've been on the receiving end of that. So so be careful what you wish for. I wanted to mention just one quick thing, too. You had mentioned qualified funds. So there are a lot of folks that are in there. And that's also another thing to consider from an overall approach, a wealth strategy, you know, where I've seen a lot of folks utilize and leverage qualified funds and self-directed and then buy this in that. Again, you can't buy life insurance policies in those vehicles. This is a security, which is separate. It's a fund. So you're allowed to do that with most self-directed vehicles. So I just wanted to share that too, just because I've seen a lot of folks do that, especially when the markets are, you know, if you look at asset cycles at all-time highs, to be able to self-direct that, take advantage of that and put it into a non-correlated asset, it would be kind of a ninja move, because you don't have the issues with the liquidity because you can't get to the money anyway, right?
Right. Well, self-directed IRAs or IRAs are generally, I mean, you're looking at long-term money. You're looking at money that you want to make sure is there for when you retire. That means that you don't want to lose any of it. You know, if you've got a traditional IRA, we can, you know, move it into a self-directed IRA. We handle all that paperwork. You don't have to worry about it. If you're considering a Roth conversion, I can show you ways to save money on that. Serious dollars with a strategy that we use, and it's a niche that we actually have. If you, whatever type of money you want to invest, whether it be 401k rollover, traditional IRA, Roth IRA, they have to be self-directed, which we can do. Any of those vehicles can be self-directed. Trust money, we have some very wealthy, very well-known named family trusts who invest with us and have invested with us over the last many years. Cash money is fine. It doesn't make any difference. So whatever type of money, wherever your money is, we can take money from corporations, from LLCs. It's absolutely fine.
I've also seen another thing that I also wanted to share. I've also seen some college planning done with this, where money is taken, especially when the kids are young, to put it in a bucket and just keep reinvesting this and kind of snowball it down the line. So, you know, 20 years, yeah, when the kids then are off to college, you've got a really nice nest egg because you've just kind of let it roll and keep rolling the funds into more as you get paid out on it, which is a pretty powerful strategy too.
Yeah, very, very powerful.
Absolutely. This has been phenomenal, Kevin. I really learn every single time about this more and more when we have conversations. I do want to recommend that our listeners, if they want to learn more about this stuff, we focus a lot of it on education, and Kevin has been very generous with his time talking about different questions and how corporations buy live settlements. We had a great conversation how Warren Buffett buys a ton of this, and Bill Gates in a previous show. So I would highly recommend check out some of the previous discussions we've had at cashflowninja.com. Just type in the number of solutions or Kevin Nichols in there. And there's also a webinar at cashflowninja.com/penumbra that you could check out. If you want to learn more about this, Kevin, I really appreciate you coming on. Where can listeners learn more about you? Where can they reach out and stay in touch if they want to reach out and learn more about you and have more questions for you?
Absolutely. You know, we've got an online video presentation that kind of touches on a lot of this, and it's at www.thepenumbraplan.com. In there, it will ask you to give your name, your email, and the email of the person that referred you. Just put MC or put Cashflow Ninja or Ninja, or like one gentleman did a few months back, the lobster guy.
That's right.
Put that in there. And we're not going to hound you. We don't do that. I will send you, after you've watched the video presentation, I will send you a copy of an electronic copy of the current memorandum of private placement, some frequently asked questions, et cetera. But other than that, that's all you'll hear from us. We won't sell your information, and we don't pester you. But that's the best way. www.thepenumbraplan. Oh, by the way, we'll ask for a password, and the password is all lowercase. Penumbra, P-E-N as in Nancy, U-M as in Mary, B-R-A. Penumbra. If you've watched it and you have questions, and you'd like to talk to me personally, you can call me at area code 817-479-9770. We're here in very close to Dallas, Texas, Central Time, and I'd be happy to spend some time with you on the phone. And if you decide that you want to fly in, we're 5 minutes away from the airport.
Awesome. Well, really appreciate you coming on and connecting again and providing so much value for all of my listeners out there. For listeners and viewers out there, appreciate you spending most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Again, check out everything at cashflowninja.com. It's the hub for boss shows, over 700 of them now between the two shows, tools, and much, much more, and also a ton of resources. Until next time, my friends, live infinitely.
This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.